Josh Miller, bringing you another edition of Driver Kansas City as I head home from another long day of existing. So I figured, why not talk about some stuff just to talk about video games a little bit, something to take my mind off of just the normal stresses of everyday life. Now the thing is I'm not going to be talking about the conferences that all just happened. That is actually something you all will hear, I think it's next week on the Players Club podcast. They'll be talking about it all there. I make a little appearance as well. So yeah, I'm not going to talk about the conferences themselves, but there are some other things that have happened kind of in the past week that I wanted to at least bring up because I was kind of interested in talking about them. And I have like 15, 20 minutes to spare, so figured why not. So for example, Phasmophobia, a game I have been so excited for to come to consoles, is finally coming to consoles. I feel like they were talking about doing that years ago, and so I've been eagerly waiting, expecting to see it drop like around, I don't know, Halloween, last 2-3 years. I don't know when it came out, but either way, I've been expecting it to come out, and it seems like it's finally gonna happen. I did buy it on Steam to play it on my Steam Deck, and it's doing the thing where I've ran across this quite a few times on the Steam Deck where I just have an issue with the, like, mapping controls where things just don't seem to work right. And I don't know if it's because I'm an idiot or if there's something actually with the Steam Deck itself where certain button mapping does not quite work. Whatever the reason, it's frustrating and makes playing some games extremely difficult. And Phasmophobia is one of those things where I can't, like, add certain items to take on the ghost hunt, or trying to just easily swap between things and accidentally dropping things when I'm in to pick it up or whatever. There's just something about the button mapping on the Steam Deck, not just with Phasmophobia, but other games as well, that just irks me so much. So for Phasmophobia to be coming out on console, I'm hoping that they will actually have their own personal touch on the controls to make it work in a way that will not be an unbearable gameplay session every time. And hopefully, if it does come out, I'll be able to get some games going with the VGU family there. And I think we'd have a lot of fun, because doing it one, you know, as just one person kind of sucks. It's not a ton of fun that way. So I've been eagerly waiting for it, and it seems it's finally coming. So, Phasmophobia coming to consoles. One thing I want to mention here, because I am excited for it. Give me my ghost hunting. I will do that. But until then, Graydon is trying to get us together to do a midnight, I think it's called Midnight Ghost Hunt? Also on Steam, or I guess technically it's on Epic. So we'll see if we can get that game night together and up on the YouTube, but that's less Phasmophobia and more like Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. So either way, still ghost hunting in a way, just not quite as like Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures, that type of show kind of feel to it like Phasmophobia does. But can't wait for that to come out. Sorry, getting a little drink there. Another thing I want to talk about was something that actually came out today, which is June 14th. And that is that there's some news on People Can Fly, the team behind Bulletstorm and Gears of War Judgment and Outriders. And it seems that Microsoft is allowing them to work on one of their properties. They are said to be in the like $30 to $50 million budget range. So it's not just some cheap little game that they're putting out. And there's no like property associated with it yet. It's called codename Project Maverick. You could probably run with Maverick in some capacity. I'm not fully knowledgeable about some of Microsoft's IP, so I don't know if something like, is Crimson Skies a Microsoft thing? Could that be like a Maverick thing? I don't know. I know people are talking about like, oh, maybe we'll get a new Banjo-Kazooie from them, or oh, maybe they'll jump back into Gears, or, you know, whatever. And I don't know. All I want is that I wasn't super crazy about Outriders. I think that is more about the type of game that was as opposed to the actual gameplay. Never played Gears of War Judgment. I know that game was considered kind of lackluster in many regards. But Bulletstorm, my God, I love me some Bulletstorm. It's a super dumb game and I love it. It is just a fun game to play. I like the weapons that they had. Most of the weapons, at least. I like the fact that you could scorpion people over to you before you, like, kick them. You can use the environment to your advantage by, like, kicking them into spikes or kicking them off the environment or whatever. And the way that they build, like, a scoring system around all of that, it was just such a cool game. And I think the marketing did that game dirty by focusing way too much on the, like, stupid dialogue and all that business. And don't get me wrong, a lot of that stuff was stupid, but it also added, in my opinion, a lot of charm to that game. I would love a Bulletstorm too. It's not a Microsoft IP, but, you know, I want a Bulletstorm too. That game was fun. It was stupid, and it was fun, and I like that. Sometimes that's all a game needs to be, is just some stupid fun. And truth be told, it's probably one of my favorite first-person shooter. One of my favorite first-person shooters. Because it was just a fun game. It didn't just rely on the same sort of weapon wheels of here's a rifle, here's a shotgun, here's a pistol. Like, it did some experimental things with the weapons. It added in that kicking and the kind of like roping people closer and adding in different style methods into first force you to experiment with how you kill people and stuff. And so it was just a really cool game. I love Bulletstorm. It has a place in my heart that I don't think will easily disappear. So I don't know what they have in the future. Sounds like it could be something big, but we'll see as they get closer. I'm curious because I like the stuff that People Can Fly have done. It's just a matter of, will the tone fit what I want it to fit? Will it be a kind of a game that I want it to be? I'd much rather just a normal single-player experience than what Outriders was, for example. So, just, yeah. Give me something good, People Can Fly. And then the kind of last news topic thing I wanted to mention was something that has been making the rounds on Twitter for a few days now. I don't know when this came up. Was it Sunday? Something. It wasn't that long ago, but it just kind of kept snowballing. And that was the whole, I don't know what it is, like Fuse or something. There's somebody called Nick Merckx. I don't follow streamers and stuff. I've never really understood the fascination with that kind of thing. But Nick Merckx, I guess he's one of those Call of Duty streamers. He went online and decided to comment something that a whole bunch of right-wing people seem to comment when it comes to the LGBTQ stuff recently, and, you know, leave the children alone. Off of, I think it was a news story about an anti-LGBTQ crowd, like, getting into a fight or something with a pro-LGBTQ group who are outside of a school or something like that, protesting something. And so, of course, he goes on there and comments about, leave the children alone, an easy comment that kind of indicates, like, what you really mean. And it's that you think LGBTQ people are grooming and all this stupid business that's never been proven, but, you know, whatever. And so, his stuff got taken down. He apparently has some sort of bundle on the Call of Duty store, and Activision removed it because of that issue. Well, of course, bigots gotta support other bigots, so Tim the Tatman and Dr. Disrespect were angry that their friend was done dirty like that, you know? So they were like, we're going to delete this game. We're not going to stream it anymore. Take off our content as well. We don't want our bundles being sold on the store either. And so I think Activision Win did that, which is awesome. I think, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And so hopefully those bundles don't return. Hopefully the Call of Duty games are much more tolerable with people like them kind of backing out in support of Nick Merckx. You know, the less people like them in those lobbies, I'm sure it makes for a much better experience. Because that kind of garbage is not needed in any sort of space. Whether it's gaming, whether it's movies, whether it's schools, whether it's just fucking existing. Like, how have we not moved past this business? Why is it so hard to let people just fucking live their lives? They're not harming anyone. They've never been able to be proven. It's never been proven that this has been harmful for children. So stupid. People obsessed with the genitalia of other people and what they identify as, and they don't care about anything else than their, like, weird hang-ups about how other people live their lives when it has no bearing on themselves or anybody else. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. And they try and use these stupid scapegoats to, like, win their arguments, like, well, leave the children alone. You don't give a fuck about the children. You don't care. You never have. So stupid. Just people need to be freaking exiled from humanity. But, yeah. That was the big thing I kept seeing popping across Twitter. Just felt I wanted to speak on it too, because fuck Nick Merckx, fuck Tim the Tap Man, fuck, especially fuck Dr. Disrespect. God damn, I hate that fucking Dragon Ball GT looking guy. So goddamn stupid people in this world, I tell ya. And if you're one of those people who are anti-LGBTQ, guess what? Fuck you too. You're a horrible human being. Stop listening to this site. Unsubscribe. Don't care. Don't need your support. Gross-ass human beings. So that's it. That's it for the new stuff I wanted to touch on. Last thing I will mention as I get close to my home is the one game I've been focusing on. That's Cassette Beasts. I did record some gameplay. That should be on the YouTube here shortly. It is a Pokemon-like game where instead of capturing well, you do capture monsters still, but instead of, like, using different items to summon them, essentially, you turn into them. But, I mean, it plays the same way. Similarly, you know, you get into battle, you turn into this monster, you can switch out between what forms you want to use. They each have different types, they have different attacks. Thankfully, they have more than just four attacks that they're stuck with for a battle, so that's nice. They can evolve, but they can also evolve into different forms. So, you know, if you have a traffic crab who is evolving, it can go one of two ways depending on the approach you want him, that you want that traffic crab to go. More melee-based or more, like, ranged-based, for example. And so it kind of adds this extra reasoning to get multiple of the same monster because you don't know whether or not they're going to evolve into different creatures. Story-wise, you basically show up on an island. You don't know how you got there. You realize that this island seems to be just pulling people from different times and worlds into it. And nobody knows how to escape. And so that's kind of what your quest is, to go through, to go around the world and figure out, why are we here? How did we get here? How do we get home? You can take on quests. You can get partners to help you in your battles, all that kind of stuff. It's a really cool game. There is, like, in town, there is a song that really throws me off, though, because it feels like it's something more akin to, like, a Life is Strange game. So given kind of, like, what the game looks like and the content in it, it just feels really out of place. But maybe that's just me. But I'm just trying to do this little quick review of it. I'm loving it so far. It's a lot of fun, but I'm also a Pokemon guy as well, so, you know, take that for what it is. But Cassette Beasts, you can find it on Xbox Game Pass. I think I looked on how long to beat. I think it's like roughly 15 hours, so it's not super long. So hopefully I might be about halfway, even though I don't think I've done nearly enough to be there. But I put some time into it, and it's probably my favorite game that I've played so far this year. So, yeah, if you're into that kind of stuff, you should try Cassette Beasts 2, because it's a lot of fun, and you don't really have many Pokemon options on stuff outside of Nintendo. You know, there's like Temtem, and oh my god, what is that game? Hexamon or something, I can't remember. There are some, but Cassette Beast is another one that you should try. So, with that, I am home, ending this session of Driver Kansas City. I hope you all are doing well. I hope you take care. Have a great weekend. And you'll probably hear from me next week on a Players Club. So, until then, take care. Bye.
This has been a VGU.TV production. For all of the hottest hot takes and other opinions on video games, music, and a lot more, tune in to VGU.TV.